Moving right along to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Can anyone tell me the last verse we talked about last week? We got all the way through verse 6, did we? Okay, what's that?
I got marked down 4.
Okay, well, we'll start at 4. How about that? You want to start at 4? Okay, consensus says start at 4. So that's where we'll start. Praise God that we have His Word and that He's guiding us with it. The Holy Spirit uses it for the glory of the Lord and for our direction. Amen?
Amen.
So let's just thank the Lord for it. How about that? Lord, we thank You for Your Word, how You gave it to us. You use it in our lives. Lord, help us to hide it in our hearts and our minds, and to be ever aware that You expect us to be obedient to Your Word. We have a part to play. We don't just get saved and that's it. No, we have a part to play. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, help us to fulfill our part and bring glory to You and help You to bring salvation to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, verse 4 through 7 is actually what I'm going to read. So we'll start at verse 4 where it says, greatly. Does yours say greatly?
Yes.
Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, his protege, and he's saying that he wants to reunite with him. Because as we talked about last week, Paul's at the end of his life. He figures he's at the end. Generally, when you went to that Mamertine prison, that was pretty much it. That was your last stop before you went to the executioner. So he had a pretty good idea. And, I couldn't find any information on this, but I'm thinking that while they're talking about your situation, deciding what they're going to do, you're not in the Mamertine prison. You're in probably somewhat like he was before, under house arrest. And I think because they knew him and knew what they could expect of him, they probably had that situation again. And so while he was waiting for them to make their decision is when this book was penned. That's what I think. Can't prove that, but it sounds good, because I don't see Paul down in that Mamertine prison in the cesspool that it was with, writing utensils. He couldn't see anyway. So, he didn't have his copyist there, what do you call it, scribe, there with him. So, I think this was probably, he did this while he was waiting. They made the decision. Into the Mamertine prison he went, and then out he came and suffered his execution. So, that's what he's talking about here. He wants to reunite with Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Now, I just have to stop and tell you, my mother's name was Lois Eunice. And I always, being ignorant of the scripture, I always thought those were not Lois, but Eunice was a bit different. But now I know. So now I say, praise God. It's a testimony. Okay, so your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, is in you also. He's talking about the faith, the love of the Lord, the desire to serve that they had is in Timothy. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. What do you think the gift was? What do you think Timothy's gift was?
Healing.
I think maybe it was preaching and leading, because that's what Paul left him to do in Ephesus, right? Paul trained him as they traveled to be an evangelist, a preacher, right? And then when he had to leave Ephesus, he left Timothy behind. He said, hey, take care of this. They need a preacher here. You're it. Okay, so remind you to stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not. That's what the Lord kept saying, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes. So Paul seems pretty certain that he's gonna die. His death is imminent, right? And so he really wants to see Timothy one last time before that happens. So his remembrances of Timothy are a source of strength to him. When he thinks about what they've done together all through the times that they were together, it builds him up and it makes him want to go forward and hang in there until he gets to see him. And so that's what's going on there. Paul asserts the pure faith in Christ that's ingrained in Timothy by his maternal mentors. So he's been raised his whole life by two ladies that all about Jesus, all about the Holy Spirit. All they knew about God, they passed it on to him. Do you see the value of a godly woman in the house? Being a housemaker and a child raiser? See, that's what we've lost in our country. We don't have that anymore. Women believe the lie that to be worthwhile, you had to be in the workplace. That's where you ought to be. Not true. In God's economy, in the home, raising godly children, that's where they need to be. The gift is the spiritual enablement of the Holy Spirit given to Timothy to serve the Lord. And I think he served by preaching and teaching and leading. The laying on of hands is the recognition of the church elders of the gift. We do that even today. We will lay hands on men. And I don't recall laying them on the ladies, but if you were called to a certain task, we might consider doing that. So it's a recognition of the elders of the gift and the permission from the church to use it. So Paul laid his hands on Timothy and gave him the permission to use his gift and serve the Lord. Timothy had already faced many challenges in his pastorate at Ephesus. Okay, one thing was he was a young guy. He was a young guy. There were older men in the church there. They resented him. What? We're going to be under this kid's leadership? You got to be crazy. I'm not going there. Well, that was one problem. And then you had these people, these supposed saints, that were teaching doctrinal error. And actually, they were antichrist because they were teaching error. And there's one more situation, but I can't quite bring it to my mind. Oh, I know what it was. This is the time of Nero's persecution of the church. You know, he had people on crucifixes along the highway as human torches lighting the road. That's how, man, he was just crazy. But that was what was going on at the time too. So he had these things he was dealing with as a young preacher. So he was facing these things, and some of them continued even on. So he's now faced with, to him, the imminent execution of his beloved stepfather and mentor. And he's not going to make it over there to see him. He doesn't get there. Paul reminds him, though, in the letter, of the power he has within via the Holy Spirit in him. We're going to see that come out. He has the Holy Spirit. And what does that bring? Power of God. Power of God. Endurance of God. Peace of God. All the characteristics of God that a person needs to serve the Lord are there. Love and the mind of Christ to vanquish the attack, any attack of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that should bring us up to verse 8, which is the new handout that you got tonight. New King James. Praise the Lord. I was able to bend over and pick that up. Not kidding. All right. Verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, because of these things that you've experienced, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Yes, you see, God didn't just come to His senses one day and say, oh, I think I'll create a world and put a bunch of people in there and see what happens. No, He didn't. It was all planned out down to the most minuscule point, right? So, because Timothy has the power of the Holy Spirit living within him, Paul commands him, Timothy, to embrace the suffering. Yes, there's going to be suffering, but the Lord will bring you through it, amen? If that's His will, what if His will is that you don't make it through? Well, then you get to be with Him early. I mean, you got to look at the bright side, right? Nobody wants to suffer, but if you got to suffer, at least you know you're going to be with the Lord. That's got to be some comfort, I would think. Yes. So, he should boldly serve the Lord because that's what Christ did. He didn't fall back. He went forward. He suffered the cross. That's what Paul is doing. He's all of his. Just think of all the things Paul went through. Can you just kind of picture in your mind Paul is, I don't know if he was there, but I kind of think maybe he was at the crucifixion of Christ. I know he was at the stoning of Stephen. So he's at that time thinking he's doing a great thing. He's getting these Christians killed. We're eliminating these folks. Now he is one. See, he's on the other side. And he's suffering. And I think part of that suffering was because he thought back and thought, man, all the suffering I caused, I totally deserve this. But I'm not just doing this because I deserve it. I'm not suffering because I deserve it. I'm suffering because it's helping others know Christ and come to Him. That's the motivation. Not that you're facing judgment because you're a wrongdoer. No, you're facing glory by bringing others into the kingdom.
Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 12 says that anyone that lives a godly life will suffer persecution, you know, in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. That's right. Even Jesus said himself, you, in this world you'll have tribulation. Don't worry, I've overcome the world. See, you know where you're going. You know what the reward is. You can hang in there because you're motivated to live for Christ. All right? So Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy that they and anyone who serves the gospel of Christ does so by God's calling and work through Christ Jesus. God calls you and you respond. If you just do it on your own, it's not going to work very well because you're working in the flesh. So He calls you, you respond, you accept His work on the cross for you. And when you say yes to that, then His Holy Spirit comes in and then you're empowered to do it. Otherwise, you're just operating in your flesh. That's where all that wood, hay, stubble comes from on Judgment Day, right? That stuff you did on your own. You didn't consult Jesus. You just did it. Some of it worked out okay. Some of it not so good. Nonetheless, it was done in your flesh. That's not good. But the things that you did through the Holy Spirit serving Christ, there's your gold and your precious stones, right? God's plan and purpose from before the beginning of creation was to call us to serve Him. Be good soldiers of the cross, right? That's why He called us. And we responded. How do I know you responded? Because you're sitting here listening to this. You're Exhibit A. You're the evidence, right? Can't deny it. Can't deny it. By grace we were saved through faith in Christ. In eternity past, to fulfill the call from God in time present. You were called before the world was created. And that was fulfilled when you became alive. You became a person in the world and said yes to Jesus. Isn't that great? Paul is telling Timothy, Paul is letting Timothy know that God has a purpose for him. So what am I going to say next? He has a purpose for you. Just follows, doesn't it? So you knew I was going to say it, so I said it. You are to live for Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, and I live to serve Him. Amen? My old brain can't bring up the rest of it, so somebody else will have to shout it out, if you're feeling it. Paul is letting Timothy know that God has a purpose for him and is calling Timothy to fulfill that purpose, which is to preach the gospel. What is our purpose? Preach the gospel. Oh, I can't preach. I'm not getting up there. No, you don't preach by all words all the time. You preach by your lifestyle and your actions and your example, right? They're watching. They're watching. You're preaching. So just accept it and live for the Lord. Do for Him, right? So we've all been called to preach the gospel of Christ. Verse 10. But has now been revealed. What has now been revealed? Well, we have to go back up. But I think, let's see, who has saved us by His holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own works of grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So it's the grace of God. It was given to you before the world began. But only now has it been revealed that you can lay hold of it and use it to glorify God. Amen? Now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is grace. When He appeared, grace appeared. And that grace abolished death. Death has no more hold on us. Right?
Right.
We're alive now. If we die, what are we going to do? We're going to step through that portal and be with the Lord and have everlasting life. We go from life to life. Much better life, but that's where we go. That was all brought about before the creation of the world. Brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel which you now share with other people. It's the same gospel. God hasn't changed. His gospel hasn't changed. It's not going to change. He's not going to change. But we need to change, don't we? We need to change into the faithful servant. We're all at different levels. That's okay. You're working on it. That's what God wants. Christ has revealed His purpose for Timothy and us, just as Christ has revealed Himself as God's Savior of creation. He doesn't just save us, He saves creation. So try wrapping your brain around that. We're included in that. We're the highest value, I don't know quite how to say it, entity, I guess, in creation that He wants to save. We're at the top. The gospel of Christ is now the means of salvation. There is no other way. I went up to see Linda Bowen in the hospital today. And you know, the hospital bugs me because they got that nice road. I'm talking about Oak Hill Hospital. They got that nice road over to the west. And you come out that road, and when you get to State Road 50, you can't make a left-hand turn. There's no way to get across there. And when you look down to the right, it's like you have to go like a half a mile or more to the stoplight or something to turn. It's crazy. So if you ever go up there, don't go out that way. Go back to the entrance the way you came in. That's the best way to go. Then you don't have to cheat like I did. No, I didn't go over to Median. Never mind. It's not worth going into. Just know the gospel of Christ is now the means of salvation for all things visible and invisible. Can you see your soul?
No.
No. Can you see your spirit? No. But they're going to be saved. You see the actions of your spirit, I think. But at any rate, you can't see them, but they're going to be saved because you trusted Christ. And there's a gazillion other things that we can't see that He's going to save too. So, what is the gospel of Christ? It's the good news of the work of Christ on the cross because of His love for His Father. His obedience and love for His Father, that's what drove Him to the cross. Oh yeah, we're in there somewhere. But the main point is, He wanted to please His Father. And He was obedient even to death on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Christ's gospel includes the fact that Christ has abolished, that means ended forever, the power of death by sin in all creation. We're freed from that. Does that give you license to go out and do all kinds of bad things? No. It should motivate you to want to do a lot of really good things. Because now you know that He saved you for His glory. So that's what you should do. The gospel is God's neon sign flashing out to the world. Eternal life through Christ. The resurrection gospel of Christ is the power of that sign. Without that resurrection, there would be no power in it. It would just be a useless saying. But we know that He was raised from the dead. So we know there's power in His resurrection life. Amen? I thought the cat was sneaking in there for a minute. All right, verse 11. So, let's see if we can connect these all right. So, at the end of verse 10, it is, death brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed. So, it's the gospel that he's talking about that he was appointed to. I was appointed to the gospel, a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Do you think Jesus was ashamed hanging on the cross? No. He knew what he was doing. He knew why he was doing it. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. What have you committed to him until that day? You committed your life. You committed your soul, your spirit. So that if you didn't really do anything else for Jesus after you confessed Him as Savior, which I think would be very hard to do, but if you did do that, your soul and spirit would still be saved because of the power of His shed blood. Verse 11 and 12, this is the gospel of Christ to which Paul and all who claim life in Christ are called to proclaim. We're all called to proclaim the gospel of Christ. It is for the message of Christ's gospel that Paul is proclaiming to Jew and Gentile that Paul is suffering. He's suffering because he's spreading the gospel. He's not going around killing people. He's not going around stealing things. He's not going around wreaking havoc on everything. He's just telling them the good news. But it's so powerful and so freeing that the powers that be don't want that to be put out there, or they'll lose control. They want to hang on to control. But Christ wants control. Yes.
Muslims,
no. Right. Right. Yeah. Why is that? Why do you think that is? I think it's one reason is because they all give you a second chance. Or you do bad in this life, you'll come back as something else in the next life. In the next life. And you keep doing that until you get it right. There's no second chance. Either you trust Jesus or you're done. And I know immediately your mind should turn to all those people that are being duped into false religion. They're going to hell. That should do something to your heart, you know. I'll leave that with you to deal with. Okay, so it's for the message of the gospel that he's suffering. No matter what he suffers, no matter what he suffers, denying the power of the gospel of Christ for life eternal is not an option. I will never, 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 ever deny Christ. And that's what Paul did. He never, 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 never denied Christ. Walk in the Spirit, beloved, so you can have that same testimony. Pray for that faithfulness. Paul has been called to serve by the risen Savior of humanity. Everybody can get saved if they'll trust him. And testifies with his life that Christ is the living God of salvation. No doubt about it. No ands, ifs, or buts. Verse 13 and 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. There's your word, Randy. Love. In faith and love which are in Christ, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. People, you know that's written to us as well, right? It's written to us as well. Paul here emphatically urges Timothy to stick to Paul's doctrine of theology. You remember Paul saying, imitate me because I imitate Christ. That's what he's saying here. Follow my doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ. You can follow it. It is solid. First-hand knowledge gained through faith and love and the Holy Spirit given by the Lord Jesus Christ. What in the world am I talking about there? I'm talking about since the conversion of Paul on the Damascus Road, all the things he went through, all the suffering he went through, everything that happened to him. There's a list of that somewhere. Maybe Ryan can tell us or Curtis. All the sufferings that Paul went through. He listed them one time. He went through all of that for the gospel of Christ. He suffered that so others could know Christ. That's what we're called to. So that others can know Christ. That's what we're called to. The good thing, the gospel of Christ, passed on to you, keep passing it on by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have the same power. We don't have the same gumption, though, do we? We need to pray for that. We need to pray for that. Verse 15. We're getting near the end, folks. Splash some water on your face if you need to. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. These two men, they were disciples of Paul, disciples of Christ through Paul, right? And others, there were others. All in Asia have turned away from me. There were others, right? But these two he singled out. We don't know why. At first I thought, well, maybe they were leaders. And when they went down the tube and went the wrong way, they drew other people with them. But there's no indication of that. And then I thought, well, maybe they were people that, they were men that Timothy knew, was friends with them or something. And so Paul is letting them know, here's how your friends ended up. They failed and they're gone, right? So sometimes you have to look at Scripture and you don't really know. And the commentators don't give you a clue, right? So you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So you can't really say something. But I said this, these two men are negative examples. That's true, isn't it? They left spreading the gospel. They're negative examples along with some others who put their hand to the plow but then looked back. What am I giving up for Christ? Oh, I don't want to give that up. I'm going back. They went back. And so becoming unfit for service to the Lord. They weren't faithful enough. They lacked. When they turned away from Paul, they turned away from the gospel. You suppose they were realizing that's what they were doing? I don't know. This is all we know of these men. Hopefully, they later came back to the Lord. Will He let you do that?
Of course.
Yes. You have until the end of your life. So, the prayer is, hopefully they came back later. We can't pray for them now. You know, there are some people that pray for the dead. Sorry, it's over, right? Once you cross over, it is what it is. So, hopefully they came back to the Lord and they're only lost to history, but not to Christ. Verse 16 down through 18. The Lord grant mercy to the household of one for us. Do you see it? Do you see one for us?
Yeah.
One, P-H is the F, right? Makes the F sound. One for us. Oh, I know, it's really Onesiphorus, something like that. Yeah, go home and practice that while you're drifting off to sleep tonight. Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Okay. But I saw that in there, I thought, I just got to say that, you know. One for us. Because look what He did. One for us. Often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Paul first met him at Ephesus on one of his missionary journeys. They were old companions. He didn't travel with him. He stayed at home in Ephesus, but he would seek Paul out and help him and minister to his needs, right? So the Lord is showing us here a positive example of how His love in us should work. We should be seeking out to do good, especially for those that are serving the Lord. We should always be ready to help them. The Lord shows us a positive example of His love at work. Onesiphorus from Ephesus I threw that in there in case I didn't say it, you'd know where he was from. Had the means, the motive, and opportunity to show love. And he did. He was obedient. Obedient in love, right? So Paul asks the Lord to reward him at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, that's where they put all your the works you did. The works you did, they're put down there. They're represented by wood, hay, and stubble, and precious gold and jewels. And they fire them up. Can you see the big flamethrower? And what's left is the things you, good things you did for Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't understand why it says, I can't remember exactly how it says, but something about building up, storing up for the life ahead. Yeah, well, we're in heaven. What do we need to store up for? That's what Liz and I were thinking. Why do we need it? We're in heaven. I'll be honest with you. I tell you, I have to do some research on that because I'm wondering if that mansion in glory isn't the new body we get. That would be, compared to this, a mansion. That's what I think. Okay, do you have any questions or thoughts? Have I motivated your mind to speak something? You can. We all love you. And hopefully we will after you speak. Okay, let's go to the Lord then. Father, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. You've shown us through the life of Paul, the life of service. Oh Lord, we don't want to go to that extreme. That's an extreme life of service. But Lord, we'll do it. That's what you want us to do. We'll be committed to you. We know your Holy Spirit will be in us. We know you'll be with us. We know the Father will even be in us after this weekend. What Pastor Dale told us, the whole Godhead is with us. So Lord, help us just to go a little further with you. Do a little more. Take a little bit more of a chance that you're there and you'll help us. Get the gospel out for you. Because, Lord, we know that's what you want. You want souls to come in to your kingdom. And you want us to help that process just by talking. Help us, Lord, to do it. We want to do it. Help us, Lord, to do it. Thank you for these saints that have come out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.